So the conversation today is spiritual evolution. And when you come into a center for spiritual living, some of you come for different reasons. You came because you weren't accepted where you were. Very possibly you were getting mixed messages about your sexuality, and so you decided to leave and find a new home. You left just because you were looking for something different. You left because you don't love God and you think maybe there's no God here. Like, there's many reasons why we move into these communities. You left because, or you came here because you want to be spiritual but not religious. That's a common and very solid reason. That's a really powerful reason to be here. But what happens is, because the centers for spiritual living, we're always claiming, oh, there's no dogma. Oh, we don't have icons. Oh, we don't do worship. And so that sounds good, except for many of you who have been in other teachings, it leaves a vacuum. Right? So it leaves a vacuum and a lacking of practices. And I think some of the practices that we speak about, maybe we haven't emphasized enough, or we haven't given them to you in a package to say to you, take them into your home, take them around your dining room table. For example, I don't speak about it often enough because it's a private thing, but I would absolutely, if you ever were in a Christian teaching and you were taught to bless your food, please continue to bless your food. Just do it with a spiritual mind treatment. What I loved is my little Puerto Rican friend here who taught me a buen provecho. I can never say it right. But that, you know, and no food goes in her mouth without her saying that. No food. You see, that is a spiritual practice that keeps you present to what's happening at the time, which is a beautiful thing. And so this is a spiritual practice that is something new, and I want to take you into it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through it once. I'll do it with you. And then we're going to do it three or four times together. And so this is what this will look like. All I see is sacred. All I hear is sacred. All I say is sacred. All I touch is sacred. All of life is sacred, which will get you very mindful about how beautiful life is. Will you be willing to do that with me a few times?
Yes.
So together, and the thing about the hands, moving the body and having mudras, that's what the yogis call them, having mudras helps to deepen the experience. So try not to feel weird about it. If you feel weird, just close your eyes. You won't know who's looking at you. Nobody's looking. Ready? All I see is sacred. All I hear is sacred. All I say is sacred. All I touch is sacred. All of life is sacred. All I see is sacred. All I hear is sacred. All I speak is sacred. All I touch is sacred. All of life is sacred. One more time. All I see is sacred. All I hear is sacred. All I speak is sacred. All I touch is sacred. All of life is sacred. Kind of changes the room a little bit, doesn't it? Slows everything down. Spiritual practice is meant to slow things down. That was, I don't know who created it, but I learned it from a minister friend of mine, Reverend Sunshine Day, so I'll have to remember to thank her for that. Spiritual evolution is the acknowledgement that the individualized spirit within us is forever unfolding, expanding, and maturing. Spiritual education is a necessary foundation. It grounds us and allows us to grow to new heights and to more loving experiences. According to Ernest Holmes, New Thought is one of the few spiritual teachings which recognizes emergence from within as the natural path of change and growth. We seek a deeper connection to the transcendent from within ourselves. We recognize the value of intuition, the inner knowing that emerges within us, each of us, through our spiritual practices. We seek a depth of knowledge to understand the dynamics of emergence in our lives. Just as the oak emerges from the acorn, which has the entire design of the tree within it, and uses, this would help, and uses, it's amazing, and uses resources in its environment to actualize its own potential. So we create our experience of life using resources from our environment, from an inner pattern of consciousness. Emergence is a way of thinking of the process by which we access intelligence, why we access the universal mind, the creative intelligence of the universe, then personalize it and actualize it as our experience. It is always an inside-out process. Always an inside-out process. New Thought, Science of Mind, practicing metaphysics, whatever you want to call it, wherever you are, is new for most of us, okay? Yet there is something solid that has been there forever. It has been there forever because you can't create really something new. So the practices, the teaching, the ancient wisdom has been taught by all of the greats. And matter of fact, that's where Science of Mind syncs up to so many of the religions. Because at the organizational side, that's where we tend to object to the teachings. We get fussy because where humans enter, we sometimes mess things up with organizing, with rules. And, you know, some teachings have books that are thick with what to do and what not to do. But if you take every religion and every teaching, there is a mystical side of it. There's a place at a height where it becomes mystical. And that's where religious science and science of mind, that's where we are in sync with all of the teachings. I mean, we are so much more than this Sunday experience, but because nothing is forced upon us, we might not be carrying the practices out in the world. And yet, I'm here to tell you that when properly applied, the spiritual practices of this teaching, and now we're talking about the basics, meditation, prayer, contemplation, and spiritual reading, and I'll add one more, silence. If you take a combination of those five things and you repeat and repeat and repeat, you will open yourself to a place of evolution, spiritual evolution, that you can depend upon, that will be there when you least think you need it. So I want to tell you a story that's going to kind of expose my smallness. You may judge me or not. That is upon you, okay? A few Sundays back, I was having a little bit of a rough day. I was having a day of feeling disappointment. And I found myself just kind of in judgment about who was or was not doing what they were not doing. Not the Sunday experience I want to have. I really want to float in here and kind of some spiritual, like, hi. And I want to be that person you look at and go, oh, she loves me and it's all good. But it's not that sometimes. Because sometimes I'm in the head of organizing and I'm in the head of making things happen, or I'm in the head of I got to raise money. And so that's a whole different mindset for me. It's not as nice as the person who shows up and loves you and hugs you. Okay? But what I discovered on this day, because I went home this day and I was a little bit cranky and miserable, to be perfectly honest. And it wasn't until the next day that I was paying attention to what I was feeling. Because that's what you have to do. You have to pay attention to what it is that you're feeling. And in the middle of feeling, I was going back in my memory to what had happened the day before. And this is what happened. This is what I realized. You notice the spear is on both sides. This is what I have finally gotten. I've never been able to explain this well enough. But I'm telling you now, there is simply no judgment that you can judge where you are instantly, not immediately, impacted by your own judgment. That's kind of what it looks like. That's what it looks like. For every judgment you judge, you are impaled spiritually by the effects, the pain, the limitation, and the suffering of your judgment. No apologies for how strong I'm saying that. And so suddenly I realized, oh my God, I created the crankiness. I created the experience. I was in judgment. I wasn't letting it go or asking questions or expressing my expectations clearly enough. So as I've encouraged you to do, which is to learn to manage your expectations and communicate them, I hadn't done it properly. I was suffering. And as Ernest Holmes says, we don't suffer because of our sins. And in Science of Mind, sins means mistake. It means mistake, right? So I wasn't suffering because of my sins. I was suffering by my sin. The sin itself is the pain and the suffering. And so as I realized that, every day since then, I've had a new filter to look through to see what I was doing and what I was causing. Because then the next layer of that is that if I'm in that pain and I'm in that suffering and I'm in that judgment, it causes the next way that I show up in the world. It continues to unfold. Not pretty. Not pretty, not good. But because of my contemplation, meditation, prayer, silence, and reading on a constant basis, I had what I needed to reflect. That set me up to see what I had done. You following me? When you are too busy in your life and you're not paying attention, you don't slow down enough to see what did you do or what do you need to do so that you can allow the practices to support you. So I want to tell you another story. I have a good friend, a new friend, a very sweet woman. She's studying to be a minister. She's only minutes away from being a minister, and she called the other day for some support. And I won't tell you the exact story, and I won't tell you her name, but I have her permission to tell you the story. And what is happening for her is that she is in some amount of pain because of a family situation, a very taxing family situation. And she has a grandchild, a beautiful 4-year-old grandchild. And this grandchild is being played with two parents. And one appears more awake than the other, but the fact is it doesn't matter. The child's still being played. And she's in agony. Having my own grandchildren now, a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, I can't even imagine. I mean, I'm just blessed that currently I can't imagine. Let me say it that way. I'm blessed that I cannot imagine the situation. So as we're chatting and she's looking at what's going on with these people and she's looking at the way she's showing up and what should she do and how could she be and, you know, and there's legal ramifications. It's a big story. In the middle of our conversation, and part of it is because when you learn to do what I do for a living, both as a practitioner and as a minister, one of the most important things we learn how to do is we learn how to shut up. Shutting up, listening, and being available for someone to speak is one of the single most generous things you can ever do to somebody. Because otherwise you get in and you think you want to fix and you think you have wisdom and you think you're all that. But if you can resist that and listen, what happens is this big space gets created, and that space gets filled with the love of listening. And from the love of listening, someone's own spiritual practice and their own realization can bubble up to the surface. So in the middle of this really hard conversation, which was, you know, somewhat teary, all of a sudden she got that everything that her granddaughter is going through is actually part of who she is and who she will be. Just like her life and all that she went through. I just need to check something. And all that she went through is part of who she is. So you and I are who we are, not despite our story, but because of it. You are who you are with whatever pain, stories of pain, stories of suffering, stories of abuse, stories of broken marriages, stories of not having enough money, stories of all that stuff. All of that stuff caused you to be stronger. It caused you to be more. It caused you to reach for new skills. It caused you to reach for help. You understand? I mean, I don't wish any of this on anybody, but I don't know anybody who doesn't have it. And the people who seem to have the least of it are the least interesting people to be around, I must tell you. We're more interesting when we know that we've had stuff. You know, isn't that funny? But it's true. But so here she is because of her spiritual practices, right smack in the middle of her heartfelt sharing with me. She got that even with the pain of what she's witnessing, her granddaughter was going to rise up and be a human to be a change. Just like you have and just like I have. And that was possible because her spiritual practice has evolved her spiritually. You get it? So, over the years, I've encouraged you time and time and time again to be in constant spiritual practice. But this is the reason why. Because that woman now will be more available to the fullness of her granddaughter. And instead of looking at her through the eyes of fear, she'll look at her through the eyes of believing in her full expression. See, when we see each other, what we see each other with, what we see, the filter we see each other through, helps to create each other. You know that? I mean, that's a very high idea, but it's a very important idea. Next year, we've decided to do an entire year, and this is, are you raising your hand at me?
Yep.
Yes, my love. Meditation. You remember, you could always look back at Facebook. Meditation, prayer or treatment, reading, contemplation, and silence. Okay, you good now? Okay, good. Next year, thanks to a fun conversation we had in the office the other day, Gary Frank sparked this one. The entire theme for 2019 is going to be being a change agent or agents for change. We're going to play with the whole secret agent thing. Everybody's going to get badges and numbers. Lee, you got to help me with this, honey. So next year, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to take who are we being in the world, and we're going to look at it in every nook and cranny and possibility that we can. So when we allow judgment of what is and fear of the future, when we are in that, one's essence can devolve. So you don't think that there's somebody out there who said a long time ago, once you're awake, you're always awake. Uh-uh. It's not so. I've seen it. I've seen it myself that when I'm not in practice, I don't keep myself open and available. So we can devolve, but we don't want to devolve. So we keep in spiritual practice. I, for one, prefer to be awake than to be in pain. Anybody with me on that one? When we seek to cultivate our own spiritual evolution, our life is an example of beauty and freedom that supports the generation of the transformation, excuse me, of the planet. When we embrace our wholeness, heal sources of pain, and become generous of nature, we become, this is my new favorite word, generative. We become generative. You and I, all of us, we become generative. We can generate love and generate possibility and generate acceptance and generate healing and generate all those things by the beingness of who we are. By that beingness. Yes? The world needs us. The world needs you to be awake. For those of you whose names I don't know here today, the world needs you just as much as it needs the people that I know and whose names I've trained to be practitioners. The world needs each and every one of us. Repeat after me, please. I am the place where love resides.
I am the place where love resides.
This love that I am,
is the presence of wholeness.
Because I know this to be true, all I see is sacred.
All I hear is
sacred. All I speak is sacred.
All that I am is
sacred. This is true for me and all living beings.
And so it is.
So if you will, please grab hold of someone next to you, if you don't mind, even if you don't know them. Let's connect with our community. So what I know in this moment that every single individual that is here, everyone who is on Facebook, everyone whose lives that each one of us are involved with, every family member for each and every one of us, every co-worker of each and every one of us, what I know is that each of us, that we are carrying the seed of possibility. I know that we each are generative. Generating love and generating the source of possibility and generating just individuals being accepted and compassion and empathy. I believe in who we are. I believe in who we are as we accept the spiritual evolution of our soul. I declare that anything that could exist, any fear that it could exist, any doubt that it could exist, any self-doubt that you think, oh, I can't do that, or I'm not enough, I declare now it's a lie. The only truth is the truth that Spirit has you. Spirit is your authority. Spirit is the identity. Spirit, God, life, energy, by any name, is the one and only authority of who I am and who we are. Yes?
Yes.
Let us accept this truth. Let it move us. Let anything that's in the way be moved out of the way. Let us fully embrace the beauty of who we are, this moment and all moments. I am grateful beyond what I can tell you for the possibility of life as us. I surrender this word to love, to law, and to the awe of life. And so it is.
Yeah.